Jai Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giri Vanadari, Jaya Giri Vanadari, Jaya Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giri Vanadari, Jaya Giri Vanadari, Jai Jasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jasoda Nandana. Jai Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjare Are, Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjare Are, Jaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjare Are, Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjare Are, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjare Are. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Nityananda Prabhu Vishnu Mahaparamamsa Prabhu Jai Shri Srimana Bhai Chandana Vinda Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Niskan Guru Parapana Ki Namachai Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Skaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bunichananda Shri Devi Gadada Sarasati Go Bhakti Vindi Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyam Kundu Radha Kundu Govardhan Ki Vrindavandan Ki Chamanamaya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Vrindavan Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Anadi Gaudi Vaishnavindi Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Harinam Samkirtan Ki Gaura Premanande Deriva, Agos and the Buddhas, Agos and the Buddhas, Agos and the Buddhas, Agos, Shri Guru and Shri Garanga, Hari Hariba. Thanks, Nivarai, because of the style of religion. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kamini. Namaste, Sarasati Devam, Govani Vachani, Nivasesha, Sunivari Vastastwani. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Ato Jayamudirayat Sinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridiyantosto Bhadrani Viranoti Suritsatam Nastapareshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiti Krishna Svatama Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Bihi Saha Kalonis Patrusha Mesha Purana Kodino Ritaha Om Gyan Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Off my speculative basis and my spiritual master. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the blessed Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 15, verse 31. Please repeat after me. Tabyam Namishat Swani Mishesu Nishidhyamanaha Nswardhatantama He Api Hare Pratihara Bhadhyam Uchahu Sahitama Tudikshita Bangam Ishat Gama Nujaina Sahasa Ta Upaplutakshaha Tabyam Ishat Swani Misheshu Nishiya Manaha Tabyam Nishat Swani Misheshu Nishidya Manaha Tabyam Nishat Swani Misheshu Nishidhyamanaha Svardhatama Hi Api Hare Pratihara Padyam Svardhatama Hi Api Hare Pratihara Padyam Svarhatama hi api hare pratihara padyam. Uchuhu suhrittama dudikshita banga ishat. Uchuhu suhrittama dudikshita banga ishat. Uchahu suhrittama didiksha banga ishat. Gamanu jena sahasata upaplutakshaha. Devotees. Bhadyam Nimishat Swami Nishishesh Nishididana Svarattamahi Apihare Pratihara Padyam Svarattamahi Apihare Pratihara Padyam Ucha Suhittama Didikshita Bhanga Ishat Ucha Suhittama Didikshita Bhanga Ishat Kamanujena Gamanu Jaina Sasa Rupa Paksha Taksha. Please repeat after me, Dabyam. By those two porters, Mishatsu, while looking on, Ani Misheshu, demigods living in Vaikuntha, Nishiryamanaha, being forbidden, Suarhatamaha, by far the fittest persons, Hyapi, although, Arihe, of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Patihara Padbhyam, by the two doorkeepers, Uchuhu, said, Suhittama, most beloved, Tridikshita, eagerness to see, Pange, hindrance, Ishat, slight, Kama Anujena, by the younger brother of lust, anger, Sahasa, suddenly, Ate, those great sages, Upapluta, agitated, Akshaha, eyes. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief gate doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger, due to their eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. Please repeat after me. When the Kumaras, although by far the most, the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger, due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. I'll read the purport first and then comment and take notes on afterwards. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life, is dressed in saffron-colored garments. The saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and the sannyasi to go anywhere. The sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. Those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic sociological conception is that a sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants. And he has not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. The four Kumaras came to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. The word Sarittama, quote unquote, best of all friends, is important. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, he is the best friend of all living entities. Surjitam sarvabhutanam. No one can be a greater well-wishing friend to any living entity than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so kindly disposed towards everyone that in spite of our completely forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, he comes himself, sometimes personally, as Lord Krishna appeared on this earth, and sometimes as his devotee, as did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes he sends his bona fide devotees to reclaim all the fallen souls. Therefore, he is the greatest well-wishing friend of everyone, and the Kumaras wanted to see him. The doorkeepers should have known that the four sages had no other business, and therefore to restrict them from entering the palace was not apt. In this verse, it is figuratively stated that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved personality of Godhead. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in the liberated stage. These four mendicant brothers, the Kumaras, were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not fulfilled, whereas a liberated person, like the Kumaras, becomes angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it has been clearly mentioned that the Kumaras were liberated persons. Viditatma tattva means one who understands the truth of self-realization. One who does not understand the truth of self-realization is called ignorant. But one who understands the self, the super-self, their inner relation, and the activities in self-realization is called Viditatma tattva. Although the Kumaras were already liberated persons, they nevertheless became angry. This point is very important. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Sense activities continue even in the liberated stage. The difference is, however, that sense activities and liberation are accepted only in connection with Krishna consciousness, whereas sense activities in the conditioned state are enacted for personal sense gratification. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So here we see in the word for word, Prabhupada's mentioning here, demigods living in Vaikuntha. So these are not the regular demigods that you see in the material universe. These are demigods that are the origin of all demigods in all universes. This is described by Rupa Goswami in Lago Bhagavatamritam. So even though these are the original demigods, the masters, the original demigods in the Vaikuntha planets, they have this ability where all the other demigods expand from them. It's the same way as Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, he exists in the Vaikuntha planet, half spiritual, half material, and all the other Triguna Shivas expand from him in all the different universes. So it's the same way with the demigods. They have their original form, original Durga, original Shiva, of course, and original, all the different demigods. They have their original forms there. And it's also mentioned in Brahma Vaivarta Purana that the demigods sometimes will go, that are in this universe, they'll actually go visit Vishnu in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, and then they come back. So that's also a great mystery, because if you enter into Vaikuntha, it's stated in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, it's stated that the personalities, the residents there, actually see the different Brahmas just coming and going, like one after another. And Brahma's life is, what, 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So that's a mystery how those demigods could go there, then come back by visiting Vaikuntha. So these are some of the mysteries of what goes on in the spiritual world, in the Vaikunthas. It's also mentioned here by the younger brother of lust, anger. So we read about in Bhagavatam how Diti, she was giving birth to all the different demons and also the different manifestations of anger, lust, kama, and all these different expansions, also disease. All the list is there. They go one after another, all the different. And there's a personality behind each form of inauspiciousness that came from Diti. And then it's also here is that it's mentioned Upapluta, Akshaha. And this is the agitated eyes. So this cursing goes on through the eyes. And the Shakti also can manifest through the eyes. Prabhupada had that Shakti. When you look into his eyes, if you're up close with him, you just lose it. Because he had so much depth in his eyes and so much Shakti that many devotees had experienced this when Prabhupada was on the planet. Also, Krishna, in his different ways of fighting Jarasandha, he led Kaliyavana into the cave where Muchukunda was. And Lord Muchukunda, he had the benediction that if anyone would disturb his sleep, then he would burn the ashes through his eyes. So this is one of the ways that the power comes through the eyes. Also, mind control that's done by either living entities, regular humans on this planet, or by even semi-gods or even yakshas, they all manifest this mind control through the eyes. So the power is coming through the eyes. So that's why they say if someone, you think someone's trying to control you or brainwash you through your eyes, their eyes, then you look away. You look away quick. You don't look them in the eyes. Because all the power is coming through the eyes. So this is something that a devotee has to be very aware of. Also, in there it's mentioned, according to the Vedic system of sannyasi, a person in the sannyasa order of life is just saffron-colored garments. So this is making a distinction between a regular citizen of a country and someone who's in the renounced order of life or has taken vows, and this is a sannyasi. He's wearing a special orange cloth. And Prabhupada didn't like it when his sannyasis, I had one godbrother, Tushta Krishna, he's passed on now, he came to see Prabhupada one time and he was in street clothes. And Prabhupada said, why? You're in the renounced order of life, you have to wear your sannyas garments. And Prabhupada made that a point. And the same way, Prabhupada would have it that we would go out on Sankirtan when we're doing Harinam, we'll go in devotee clothes, dhotis, kurtas, a chadar, like that. Because people, I've seen in other countries I've been, that they don't have any problem with devotees. The devotees are all coming in street clothes. It's like, what's the necessity? They're not distributing books. It's allowed when one distributes books. But when we go on Harinam, we should be dressed like devotees. Because people, it's a whole different presentation when you're dressed like devotees. It also has more energy, more Shakti. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also said, Gopi Bhattur Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So in the philosophical point, is that Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra, but I'm a servant, a servant, and a servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. So the devotee has to have that mood that he's the servant of the servant. I had one godbrother, I won't mention his name, he's still alive. When he went and got first initiation in New Vrindavan, the Prabhupada had the potency, he can see right through people. And this devotee had a controlling mentality, very much so. He liked to control. Prabhupada knew that. And when he bowed down, this is a very surrendered position when you're bowing down, especially to your guru. Prabhupada says, your name, I won't say the name, is Das, Das, 1,000 times Das, not God, Das. And this devotee's down, he's like, you know, it's like thunderbolts to his head. But the devotee took it in the wrong way. He took it that, oh, this is how I'm supposed to treat other devotees. Instead of saying, oh yeah, I'm a servant. So in this way is that we have to be very careful how we take the instructions of the spiritual master. And also it's mentioned here too about the sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. Because the whole point is atato bhama jigyasa. Now is the time to wake up from this tamasima, jyotirgama. Wake up from the tamasa, from the mode of ignorance, and come into the light, become spiritually advanced, become spiritually realized. And also, it says, those in the renouncement of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the personality of Godhead. So, of course, in Gita, satatam katiyantam mam yantatascha dridivataha. That Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, he's saying there that my devotees are always chanting my glories, bowing down with determination. So the thing is, the devotee is also offering prayers to the Lord all the time. Not just japa, but you should eventually make up your mantras that you like, a whole set of mantras. And it's not hard, it's just by repetition that you actually memorize these things by repetition. It's, of course, it's impressive when you say them and people say, oh, where'd you learn all that? But it's just repetition. And you keep doing it, it's like your japa. And then eventually you just remember them. Now, also is that the Kumaras, they're just like sannyasis. Because it's mentioned there that they shouldn't have been in any way restricted. Now, sometimes we see, now Prabhupada made allowance whenever the devotees were doing paintings. Prabhupada actually gave a lot of allowance. Because actually, Lord Chaitanya, it's described by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya in his prayers to Lord Chaitanya. In another place, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, why did you cut off your sikha and why did you take off your neck beads? And so many times you see, we have the Lord Chaitanya with the neck beads, he's got a big sikha. But actually, is that Lord Chaitanya, he was initiated in the Mayavad Sampradaya. You know, so the thing is that he took on, because that was the most popular form at that time. Other Tridani sannyasis existed in South India in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya. But Lord Chaitanya, he took the one that was considered to be the most accepted in North India, and that was the, of course, Shankaracharya line. So same way with the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they didn't wear Brahmin threads. They were younger than before. Because usually initiation will be later, age of nine on up. But they're little children, so that at that time they didn't have Brahmin threads, you see. Yes?
5 years.
5 years. Okay, so even down to 5 years. Different in different families. So, or sanghas. So, thank you. So, also it's mentioned here, we're going down the line. He's the best of friends. So also we have that in Bhagavatam, in Gita 5:29, we have Bhuktanam Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sudhidam Sarvabhutanam Gatvamam Shantarichati. So 5:29, the Lord is saying that the sage is knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. Sudridam Sarvabhutanam. well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material existence. So this is part of the benediction that the Lord gives. He's actually your friend. Like we were seeing pictures this morning up here of Nrsimhadev, and he was hugging Prahlad, giving him a big hug, you see. And at the other times, the Lord is very angry, but he's hugging Prahlad. So he's the best of friend to the devotees like this. And also it's mentioned here, there was another 1854 in Gita. So in 1854, we have the Lord is saying, Brahmaputta Prasanatman Sochitina Kanchatis Samatsavishu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Yulavate Param. So Samaha, equally disposed. The Lord says, one who is thus translated, situated, once realized the Supreme Brahman, he never laments or desires for anything. He's equally disposed, Samaha, to all living entities. And in that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So in that way, the Lord's also, he's equal. And it says here also is that no one can be a greater well-wisher friend to any living entity than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this is why also the Lord has a relationship as a friend with so many coward boys. He has this because friendship is a very important relationship with the Lord, one of the five. So they become actually a friend of the Lord. It's very sweet indeed. And there's many God brothers I've met also, and God says, they mentioned, yeah, they'd like to be coward boys. And then other ones, of course, they'd like to have in the different relationships. It might be as a parent. And he's so kind of disposed towards everyone, but in spite of completely forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, he comes himself sometimes personally as Krishna appeared on this earth, and sometimes as his devotee, as did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes he sends his bona fide devotees to reclaim the fallen souls. One time on a morning walk in Bombay in 76, a devotee brought up the argument that some of, let's just say it was an argument. And the devotee brought it up and said, Prabhupada, we've heard that some say that if Lord Chaitanya wanted to spread the Sankirtan movement around the earth, he would have done it himself. And Prabhupada said, no, that's because Krishna wanted me to do it. Yeah. So the thing is that this is the point, is that Prabhupada was extremely, not only the founder Acharya of ISKCON, but he's the Siksha Guru for everyone for the next, within the 10,000 year period. So he's there for everyone. He's there in his books. He's there in the teaching. Many devotees have had dreams about Prabhupada that were, who were not even initiated by him. They tell me these wonderful dreams, and I was like inspired to hear. So that's another point, is that Prabhupada was here and he established everything. And so now the ISKCON movement is spread around the world. There's so many wonderful devotees, so many wonderful gurus that are also making more devotees as well. So this is the way the movement will spread all over the planet. And it's just starting now. Think about it. It was only 500 years ago that Lord Chaitanya came. And this movement will just keep spreading, go on and on and on for thousands of years. Then also it's mentioned here, in this verse, it's figuratively stated that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved personality of Godhead. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumars were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. It's actually also mentioned that there's three gates to hell: lust, greed, and anger. So the thing is that for most of us, because we're contaminated, we're conditioned, is that when we become angry like that, not because of our service, but a lot of times it's because unsatisfied lust. So in this way, this is one reason why Prabhupada wanted most of his disciples to actually get married, to take shelter of the wife like that, to be protected. so the devotee doesn't end up going to prostitutes. Now also, the thing is, for the Kumars, there was no question of them being contaminated or their anger was due to lust. It was just that they were actually being impeded in their service. Now, when a devotee becomes impeded in service and he becomes angry, especially like us, we have to think twice before we open our mouth, because a lot of times we'll say something and later on we regret that we said it. You're impeding my service. Actually, a devotee is one, a Vaishnava is one, who takes any impediment that comes, or any impediment or obstacle that comes along, immediately the devotee should be thinking, is that, what is Krishna trying to show me here? What am I to learn from this? Because otherwise you have the devotees that, you know, they get so angry at each other sometimes. Early in the mood, they used to get in fist fights, you know. And that's not a devotee. I mean, we don't behave like that. We're supposed to be sadhu. We're supposed to be controlled. So even with a wife, we should not become so angry. I know it's hard. It's difficult. But the thing is that we have to try to control that, you see, because then the children also sing, oh, my daddy, he's angry at my mother all the time. So why is he angry like this, you know? And then they pick it up. They pick up this energy and they start to imitate it. So one has to be very careful about how one acts in front of the children, especially with this anger. So, because this is one of the gates to hell. Okay, reading on here. Okay, it says, anger will continue even in the liberating stage. Like sometimes Prabhupada became angry, but it wasn't due to material contamination. He'd be upset with the disciple because the disciple wasn't getting the point in his head. And it was many times very important service that had to be done. That's why Prabhupada said, I'm expending so many pounds of blood just to try to convince one devotee, because you Westerners are so stubborn and arguing so much. And then it also said the Kumaras were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. That's the difference. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not being fulfilled. Whereas a liberated person, like the Kumaras, becomes angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So the whole point about liberation is that it's also mentioned that Muktanam Apisidanam Narayana Parayana Sadulabha Vasantatma Kutishvapi Mahamune, is that out of many millions of those who are liberated and those who are expert in the science of liberation, a devotee of the Lord is extremely rare. A devotee of Narayana or Krishna is extremely rare because they're peaceful. And so the thing is that there's many persons who are mukti siddhi, or they're expert in gyanis, who are expert in liberation, and they might even be on the liberated platform. But the thing is that Bilva Mangal Thakur, he said, Mukti Swaya Mukunjali Sevate Isman, that Mukti Devi is standing at my door asking to serve. And also, there's another verse in relationship to that. Muktir Hidvan Vatam Rupam Swa Rupena Avastitihi. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity upon giving up the changeable, gross, and subtle bodies. And so that's real liberation. That's when you actually have the sarupena, stitadi, arivo. I saw your book. A very nice book about Prabhupada. Stitadi here in our class, he has a very nice book about Srila Prabhupada and before Prabhupada became did his preaching. It's a very nice book with pictures, nice illustrations. So, oh, also is that there's the one verse too from about the super self, 1710, 1.7.10 in Bhagavatam, and the Atmarama verse, Sutuvacha Atmaramas Chamunayo Nirgrantast Api Arukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim Itam Bhuto Guno Harihi. And says all different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or the self, this is real liberation, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. So there's the other key point. It says, the desire to render unalloyed devotional service. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities, therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. That's referring to those jnanis. Even the Kumaras, they simply by them smelling the incense of the Lord, they were Brahmanandis. They were perfectly situated on the liberated platform. But when they smelled the incense that had been offered to the Lord, just like Vaisheshika was making the point on the class on Friday, is that we have so many things to engage our senses. After Mangalartik, then also we have the smell, the oil that's actually offered to the Lord, and then we smell that, we smell the flowers, we smell the incense, we smell the, right now, also sandalwood pulp is being put on the body of the Lord, and then we can also smell that, mixed with camphor. So many wonderful smells are there for us to engage in. And that's the other thing too, is that many times devotees too, they might put some oil on their body, sandalwood oil, this is a very common thing, put sandalwood oil on their body, and one becomes smelling very nice in that way. And then it's also is that it's mentioned all different varieties of Atmaramas. It's also those who meditate in trance. So they're also liberated. Dhanavastita madgatena manasa pashantiyam yogina. Those who are liberated, perfectly liberated yogis, see within their minds upon attaining samadhi and absorbing themselves within him. So they see the Lord in the mind as well. They're also real Atmaramas. And also, this it's mentioned in 2.7.11 Bhagavatam, Devata Atma, that the Lord is the soul of the demigods. So he's also that supreme Atma. Atmanam Akilan Atmanam, is that the Lord is the Atma of all Atmas, the soul of all souls. So, and also Atma Va Idam Agra Asit. This is mentioned in Vedanta Sutra 2.9.33. Srimad Bhagavatam as well, it's mentioned that the Supreme Lord existed before the creation as the Atma, long A, Atma. So, going on here, it's mentioned in the last paragraph, it's mentioned in the previous verse, it's been clearly mentioned that the Kumaras were liberated persons. Viditatma, Tatva, means one who understands the truth of self-realization. So, Nimbarkacharya in Nabadweep, he was instructed to find the four Kumaras. So he was searching around in so many different places. Finally, he found the four Kumaras and he received spiritual instruction and he started the Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya. So in this way, there's a Sanat Kumar Samhita, which is available now. It's on the internet. Devotees have translated it. And in there, there's many very deep spiritual instructions that are there, as well as the topmost rasa with the Lord and conjugal love, that's also described by the four Kumaras. So they were aware of all different types of spiritual realization. And then going on here, it says, one who does not understand the truth of self-realization is called ignorant. But one who understands the self, the super-self, the Paramatma, their interrelation and activities in self-realization is called Viditatma Tattva. Viditatma Tattva. So the thing is, many times devotees, see, as when we were, before we became devotees, many of us, we would get some brilliant idea and we didn't know where it came from. oh, my brain is so powerful, I just thought of this, you see? And actually, sometimes Prabhupada's mentioned that if someone who's a scientist is really working hard trying to figure out some puzzle, then all of a sudden he gets that realization. So, of course, that scientist, you know, thinks, most of the time, they think, oh, this is my brain power. But the thing is that that's from Super Soul. So for the devotee, sometimes these magical things happen. You know, you're trying to think of something, trying to figure something, all of a sudden, boop, just appears. And you get, I wasn't even thinking. And many times that happens when you're not even thinking about it. The answer comes. So this is Paramatma. And the Lord is actually reciprocating from within the heart. And it says here, also, the Kumaras were already liberated persons. They nevertheless became angry. This point's very important. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Since activities continue even in the liberating stage. Actually, Prabhupada said that. He said, people say that Krishna's lusty. See, he's the most lusty person anywhere. Because it's not material lust, it's spiritual lust. Well, anytime you mention the word lust, immediately you think it's material. But it's conjugal love that the Lord has with all the living entities who want to reciprocate with him in that way. So he is the most lustiest in the spiritual sense. And then the difference is, however, that sense activities and liberation are accepted only in connection with Krishna consciousness. Whereas sense activities in the conditioned stage are enacted for personal sense gratification. So going back here to the translation, when the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Srihari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of their anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. Also, I wanted to mention one other thing here is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that Jai and Vijay, when they came with Vaikuntha, that was a once occurrence. Now, whether that means once in a kopa of Lord Brahma, or once eternally, but other times they're demons. You know, the Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they're actual demons. So that's according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, because there are kalpa avatars who appear only once in a kalpa. And that's also mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Bhagavatamritam Kana. It's a one page. And it mentions the kalpa avatars. The Asadev's one, because he's Vishnu. So he comes once in a kalpa. So any questions? Stitadi?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Prabhu. You mentioned that the purpose for a man to get married is to take shelter of the wife, to control the lust, anger, and there was a third quality. Could you please explain what that means? Mm-hmm.
The Prabhupada mentions that it isn't just to have children, but it's also to keep the mind peaceful so that one can go on doing their spiritual activities, because we're a spiritual movement. So Krishna consciousness is the center. So if the husband and wife agree to work together to eventually have nice children, because, you know, we have to keep the generation going. I'll die, who knows when. I'll die, but then now my daughters are there and they have a grandson. So it's also to keep the growth of ISKCON It has to keep going. Otherwise, many movements have passed on, died off, because they didn't have any children. So the husband is supposed to take shelter of the wife, many times for good instruction. The wife many times can point out to the husband, don't do that because of this, 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 and this. And it'll actually give good instruction. And sometimes it shouldn't just be in a controlling attitude. Like, okay, my husband wants to be the boss all the time, so I'm going to tell him a thing or two. It's not like that. Is that you actually, the wife should be thinking, how can I say, because you, number one, you don't want to lose money. It's always the bottom line. Number two, you don't want to do anything stupid that's going to get you in trouble. So that way you want the amount. And so, of course, sometimes people have to learn by the hard knocks, devotees. Many devotees have learned by hard knocks. And they have to go and suffer. And then they turn around and say, yeah, I was wrong, you know. That's the ego, because they didn't listen to good instruction beforehand. So the wife, in that way, she could be good intelligence for the husband. Now, the thing is that if the husband doesn't want to get married yet, then he can take to, you know, stay brahmachari, become sannyas, or like that. But it's in most spiritual movements, they're married. You know, the devotees are married. Simple thing. Any more? I mean, you want more? I can say more. Is that okay?
Yes, it's just sometimes I hear that, and I hear that the wife is used as an object.
And that can, yeah.
Like a dumping ground. Yeah,
you're right, it can be.
And the husband.
Correct, and you're right about that. Prabhupada did not want it that his disciples, or even anyone in ISKCON, that they'll get the wife pregnant, and then all of a sudden they leave. You know, because then the wife is stuck with the children. How is she going to maintain herself? How is she going to be taken care of? So Prabhupada wanted that responsibility there. And even though there's been many problems like that, it's because of the backgrounds that we're coming from. We're not, the devotee is not being mature. The man is not being mature, or the wife is not being mature, and they run off like that. Now, there is the Grihastha. There's been books that have been put out now to help devotees. There's one, I forget the exact name, I can get it. It's called Garbhadhana Samskara, how to make a child, a Krishna conscious child. And then the other one's about the right here we have a Grihastha, I forget the name, it's a Grihastha team where they talk together and, you know, that they confer and counsel with each other, and they counsel other devotees like that. It's true, is that actually, because if the devotees don't learn all the Krishna conscious philosophy, that's why Prabhupada said, if you don't read my books, all my books, you'll fall down. In one way or another, physically or mentally, you have a fall down. Because all the Prabhupada's instructions are there. He always wanted it that his daughters in Krishna consciousness were treated correctly. But the thing is that due to the wanting to enjoy, be the Purusha in such a strong way, wanting to exploit the wife. And exploit the women. And yeah, that's, we see it's a disaster. It's created many problems in the movement in the past. So this is why these different teams were, of Grihastha teams were formed to try to help devotees so this doesn't keep popping up. But it's conditioning, due to conditioning. So that's the part the hard part that has to be learned. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hi, Bo.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. Prabhu, you said that demigods had their original form, and then it's like somebody is at home and then they go to work. Is that what you mean? Like you said, they can go back and forth.
The demigods from this universe, and Brahma Vaivarta Purana has mentioned how they went to visit Vishnu and Vaikuntha, and then they came back. And so I was going like, well, wait a minute, but the time element, you know, because you hear about Revati, mm-hmm. how her father, they simply went to visit Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma said, you know, wait a minute until the dance is finished. And then when the dance is finished, then they said, you know, when they came and said, oh, I want to have my wife an eligible person. And then Brahma's laughing. He said, your whole line is not even remembered. You know, everyone is gone. You've been here for so many millions and millions of years. So the thing is that if these demigods went and visited Vishnu, and I was mentioned like in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, that the residents there are watching the Brahmins just one after another dying. And it's like, how could the demigods go and at the same time come back in the same universe and not be, you know, everything will have changed. So the thing is that the time element is very strange indeed. So this is one reason why this is a concept that is even in among the Karmis, trying to understand anything about the time element. So Krishna says, time I am. So all this is under his control, true. But for us to understand it, it's very difficult. Even to understand the lifetime of Lord Brahma for us is so inconceivable. 311 trillion, 40 billion years old is his life. That's eternity for us. So it's very difficult to understand. But the demigods, they do have that facility somehow where they can go visit and come back. It's beyond me.
Yeah, I never understood the time element myself.
I know.
I mean, I'm bewildered by it. But you mean they have an original form?
Oh, they have an original form. Yeah, it's mentioned, yes. In Lago Bhagavatamritam by Rupa Goswami, it's mentioned there. They have the original form in the spiritual, in Vaikuntha.
Vaikuntha. Is that the same way, like we have our original form, but we are here down here?
To some degree. Little comparison.
Okay. It's you know, when you hear all these things, you try to put it together. Like Lord Indra sees Krishna all the time, whenever, and still he has these pastimes where he seems to forget who Krishna is when, you know, you had a rainfall, you know, so. Like you said, the time element comes into it, and the figure is all sometimes blows my mind.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then the billion family members. Yeah. Where are you going to fit them? Yeah. You know, in the state of Gujarat, it's like incomprehensible. Stitadi!
Well, I wonder about that original form, because then you'd have to have your original consciousness. And if these guys are going there as demigods, they're still, I'm a demigod. So there might be something going on where they're, you know, because they're going to Vaikuntha, but to have your original form means you have your original consciousness. It's the same thing in one sense.
Ocean of milk, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they didn't go see him, but I'm just wondering, I mean, they may have some purified form to engage, but to have your consciousness and your form is identical in the spiritual realms is an understanding. Whereas here we have this false ego, so then all form and everything else is all covered by that. It's some alternate thing that isn't real to the self. So I don't know there's a lot going on with these things, but if they're going to see Vishnu, I imagine there's something's going on there. They're not just showing up, you know.
Also the Lord allowing it.
Yeah, it's facilitating. I mean, Krishna can do anything, so he'll just make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your name of your book?
That's that little kid's book I did. Srila Prabhupada, the story of Abhay Charande. So it's just riffing off the Leelamrita, but it's following Prabhupada as he's growing up. Because it was for kids.
Well,
we're all kids at heart, you know.
Can I see?
It's in the gift store.
Really?
Yeah, you got money. Jesus, pony up. Yeah. Hey, he's going to start charging me for, you know, promotional fees.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In Kardam Muni's case, Prabhupada mentioned that husband should be ideal and wife should follow. How do you collaborate with the idea you are giving that husband should take shelter of wife?
Well, it has to be seen the mindset of each individual. Like when it comes to money, you know, many times a man wants to control it, but my wife is better at doing funds because she comes from a poor family.
So every penny counts. For me, a penny's nothing. So the thing is, when it comes to calculations and things like that, like in math, I'm not good at that. My wife's very good at it. So I say, okay, you do that. Because she's better at it. You know what I mean? I could say, well, I want to control it. But I don't have that mindset in such a way. The thing is that, because it's mentioned that among women, I am intelligence in the Gita. So the thing is that the man has to know his limits, you know, what he's good at, what he's not good at, and the wife, because that way you work together. Because that way she does things the man doesn't want to do. Like I at home, I'll do the honeydews, but that's, you know, like mowing the lawn. This is like, you know, the practical things. Mowing the lawn, fixing the car, everything that breaks, I fix. But at the same time, when it comes to gardening, forget it. I can't do it. I'm not into that. My wife loves it. She has a meditation. I can't comprehend. So these are some of the practical, you know, things. The couple has to understand what each one's good at, which one's better at, without the ego coming in saying, no, I want to do it. No, I want to do it. No, I want, you know, instead of just saying, yeah, you're better at that. You do that. I'll do this. You know, like that.
That's where mutual respect.
Mutual, exactly. Mutual respect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jai. Right. Prabhupada said, with children is two things. You get something and you give something up. And then, you know, that you just think about that. That's true. You get something from having children. But at the same time, you have to give something up. You know, you have to surrender to, you know, help the kid, you know. So it works both ways. Yeah. Jai, Haribol.
Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
No, Prabhupada.
Jai. I'm a servant.
Das.